Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is The Lois Effect. My name is Alisa. Uh-oh.
Hello?
Ah, now it's working.
Oh.
Weird.
Yes. And my name is Liz. Anyway, happy Thanksgiving for those of you that celebrate.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Just put the tiniest turkey I've ever seen in my life. I actually found a turkey that was 9 1/4 pounds.
Chicken.
Yeah, like 9.28. It's like a big ass chicken. It's the cutest thing. I'm gonna actually post a picture on Instagram when I already know. I'm gonna put the caption's gonna say "tiny turkey realness" because it is and it's crazy. I mean, I put the turkey in the oven because I didn't want to think about it during the show, and then I can just leisurely let the day unfold, and I'm going to bring the meal up to my mother who lives alone and leave the rest for the kids. But it really looks like a super chicken. Does not look like a turkey. And I remember struggling with turkeys every time for as many years as I've been making Thanksgiving dinner, where it's always over 20 pounds and it's taking up so much real estate in my refrigerator, or it's hard to pick up such a heavy turkey because it's frozen and
right.
It's clunky. And honey, I was like, I had one turkey in one hand and I had the roasting pan in the other. Like, I'm like just laughing to myself. Like, I have never seen such a fancy ass petite turkey. But anyway, happy that it's in the oven and happy that it's going to be a streamlined day. And because of the risk of corona and everything else, if I'm with my mom socially distanced for an hour, that will be more than enough. I get very nervous about, you know, because I have to take the subway and, you know, do what have you actually I might do car service because it's raining and I am bringing food, but we'll see. So happy Thanksgiving. And whether you celebrate it or not, it's always an advantage to just vibrate in the frequency of thankfulness. So I'll take this opportunity to say how thankful I am to your cousin, my dear friend, Anna Bangalyn, for starting up the circus known as Universal Energy Radio. And I'm grateful to you, very thankful to you, my fabulous co-host, for putting up with my shenanigans and not starting your own show, even though, you know, White Lily would be your executive producer. It's not a show without a dig. You know, executive produced by White Lily. And I'm very thankful you're still putting up with me. I'm very thankful to our listeners, particularly our lifers. There are people who've been listening to us since the very first show, and they still listen to us. What's wrong with them? We are so thankful to you, Jay, Marguerite, Lolita. There's so many of you, Tessa. I mean, just my goodness. Thank you for sticking it out, and for our listeners of recent years, Jen and Little Fairy, and not White Lily, and so many of you, and those of you that we don't know but are listening across the globe, Q. And I think especially now, it's so grounding to have this place to go twice a week. And we didn't have to create a virtual space. We always had it. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't have to do it because of corona. It adapted perfectly, or corona adapted perfectly to the show, or vice versa. So thankful for another day to be on the air with you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think you've summed everything up.
Well, that used to be the Lois Effect, formerly known as the Sum of You Show. Right, the art is formerly known as the Sum of You Show. Right. Summed it up.
Ditto, as far as being thankful for all those things.
Yeah. Yay.
It is funny because I always think, oh, it's Thanksgiving. Are we going to do a show? I'm like, yeah, we always do a show on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's Thursday. We have never not done a show on Thanksgiving. And I know because I always have like the accomplishment of putting the, you know, and I just don't take the turkey out of the wrapper and stick it in the oven.
Right, you got
to
do your
thing. I talk
to
the I said, come on, girl, because I'm making you for my mother. You know, I do the combination of the melted butter and olive oil, the seasonings, the fresh herb. Trying something new. I read someplace, you know, stick a whole onion in the middle of the turkey. So because it's a little turkey, I found the biggest onion I could find, stuck it in there. It is the cutest, tiniest, littlest thing ever. I'm just watching my kids are going to be like, there's no more turkey? Like, I can't win. I can't win because if I got the big-ass turkey, it would go to waste. And I just detest food waste, especially now when so many people are hungry during these crazy corona-filled times. So, yeah, just watch. But I don't imagine more than a sandwich worth of leftovers, and I'm putting dibs on that because I live for that chicken. I live for that turkey sandwich. more than the meal itself, I don't know why I live for that turkey sandwich. I don't know why. But anyway, so there.
Yeah, that is interesting. I think it tastes better.
It does.
Just, you know, like after it's been sitting for a little bit.
I don't know. It's just give me some good bread. Give me some Hellman's. Don't give me the Chiefs. Give me some Hellman's. Don't talk to me if it's not Hellman's. Salt and pepper, turkey. That's it. I don't want no lettuce. I don't want no tomato. I don't want just that's it. I don't know what that is about that.
That's funny.
I know.
It's funny. You know, in the South, if you're talking about, you talk about Hellman's, we're all about Duke's.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is. So that's a brand?
Yeah.
Ah, see? That's like a Yankee. That's like a Southerner Yankee thing.
Mm-hmm.
Duke's. I do not know what that is.
Duke's.
Right. Duke's. The Dukes of Hazzard, because that's where the show is going. It's going to hazardous territory. No, it's not. But, you know, very, very, very interesting. So remember I told you that I have switched up my meditation practice where I didn't do it today. I'll do it later because I was busy putting little baby turkeys in the oven, but whatever. I'll do it later. But that I switched up my meditation practice so that I listened to about 15 minutes of Abraham Hicks from this podcast that I think I sent you the link to.
Yes.
Yes. And I'm starting from the first episode, working myself up to the most recent. So I'm working backwards. And I've only been doing that a couple of days, literally just a couple of days. And I think it's very, very interesting how I'm witnessing some energetic thresholds being crossed at this time. My household is more harmonious. I actually wept like I crossed a finish line because for the first time in about 3.5 years, my youngest son is actually caring somewhat about school, which is huge. This is like somebody saying that they're going in for their third PhD, okay? This,
yeah.
Lisa, you know. At least you know, because you've been here within the last 3.5 years. You know. And when things clear up, I want to do the Atlanta-New York exchange where, you know, there's going to be some traveling in our future because I think we're so starved for it. So you'll be back. And I'll be back to Atlanta. Anyway, I like looking forward to travel because it helps deal with corona brain. Anyway, he miraculously – pass all of his classes.
Wow.
You know that speed. And it's really funny because in one class he got like a 73, but I'll take it because he went from a 55 to a 73.
No,
he's
passing. That's great.
That's all I want. And my older son is like, Mom, our standards are so low. I'm like, you know what? It's whatever works. I mean, high standard, low standard. Shut up. And then he was teasing his brother. He goes, freaking nerd. You're such a nerd. Anyway, he's like, go read a book. But it was all in good fun. We were laughing about that. And then my eldest son had like a Cain and Abel moment where the younger one wanted to get the bedroom and the older one was resisting. And now the older one has moved to the living room. The younger one has his bedroom. That has all helped. And he's really beginning to come into his own. And there's just a more loving environment. So I feel like the 3.5 years where I knew I had to end my marriage, I'm divorced almost 2.5. So 3.5 years ago, I knew like it was the worst. That it was the darkest, darkest, darkest of nights, that realization. And I felt yesterday when he told me he passed everything and he showed me his grades, I basically held him and I was sobbing. I'm like, this is so not about your grades, but this is so about we have all crossed the finish line. Like, you know, it's very handy to be clairvoyant because it's all about, it's reading the energy, reading the energy. And then speaking of reading energy, I, in a very loving, beautiful, and amicable way, because of the energy, and it's like, let's embrace our gifts because we use them for the good. If we embrace them and we say, wow, this approach, no matter what's happening, will guide me, follow the feeling to the better feeling place, or face it head on and know everything is unfolding for your good and to resist it as little as possible. I actually ended my situationship 2 nights ago. Yeah, and listen, it was a great run, 5 months, it was the closest thing, because I never called him my boyfriend, it was the closest thing, divorce relationship. So Jen, if you're listening, I'm off the fence. So.
Wow.
Yes, and again, it pays to embrace your gifts, and it's so helpful to just trust. If people are paying me to do readings and it's so specific, it's so accurate and so helpful to that client that they keep coming back, right? Then why am I to pretend that those gifts don't exist? So I don't. So that's what allows me to be able to do what I do, whether it's in my professional life or otherwise. So from day one, I always knew that this guy was not Mr. Right, but Mr. Right Now. His initials are RG. And my name in my head for him was Rehearsal Guy, right? because from the ages of 18 to 25, let's say, I was easy breezy cover girl living my life, being free, being wild in these streets in New York, and having an iconic, amazing, fun life as a young woman just trying to figure out who the hell she is. And it was a very, 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 very different time. And I, like you, as a child, very interested in the esoteric and spiritual aspects, but then left that for my wild days, and then came back to it in back in my mid twenties, and to you know to this day that I got really into like study, you know, like I would say mid twenties to present day. So, and then I met my ex-husband when I was 25, and basically didn't decide to end the marriage until 30 years later at 55. So there's a lot that I did experience, especially as a woman, you know, not a young person in their 20s going crazy, but like as a woman, you know, late 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, had no clue. I knew how to be a wife. I knew all those things. But in terms of being free and being a woman and all of those things, so I thought, wow, this is what you read about, you know, in books about, like, amazing European women over 40. Like, they take on a lover. Okay. I don't know what that is. Let me try it. So that's what I did. But I always knew, and one of the – and he knows about this – he doesn't listen. He knows about this podcast, and he knows that I'm incredibly intuitive, but this person does not even know – if I said define source energy, he would say the power plant. Do you know what I mean? the phone company? Right. T-Mobile? What is that? Right. And that's – we're so fortunate to have that awareness. And those of us that have multidimensional experiences, we are so fortunate, no matter how freaky it is, there's no other place energetically that I can't even imagine, where if you're just about the work, eating, sleeping, entertainment, and love space, I mean, that's plenty, but there's so much more, right? That's pretty much this person, and this person, and I've said this many times. I said, there's no way, if it wasn't Corona, there's no way I'd be hanging out with you. No way, if I met him under different circumstances in his natural habitat, the club or whatever. There's just no way. But he almost died of COVID, came out of it. And it was the beginning of his dark night of the soul, which I think is expressing itself in a different way now that he's physically recovered. And he's one of the lucky ones because there's a lot of people who was as sick as he was or not even as sick as he was, and they will have collateral damage for the rest of their lives. I think he has some emotional, mental damage, but I think this was a gateway for unresolved issues to present themselves, because when you're ready, they're going to show up. And even if you don't think you're ready, they're going to show up, right? Mm. And if you don't know what source is and you're just sort of in that, I'm just here to be stimulated and to fulfill my responsibilities, and then it's a free-for-all, and I think that's sort of him, it could be a very rude awakening if you don't have those tools or that vocabulary. And one of the things I said to him early on was, there's a lot of unfinished business. Now, I didn't really know what that meant, but in a burst of clarity the other night, it all came to play. And this is someone who has been with, I'm not even exaggerating, I would say probably multiple hundreds of people, okay? Mm. I would say, yeah, and safe sex people all day, thank you. And the thing is, too, because he was under medical care and he had been sick for months, and I know my status, like I knew like an STD really wasn't going to be an issue because I was the first person he was with after several months, and he was very, very sick and under medical care. So blood work, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't really worried about that risk. So someone who's been with multiple hundreds of people, but someone that I could see their profound intelligence, appreciate their humor, and we have always had a wonderful, fun, buoyant, just cool time together. And I felt like there's this beautiful bubble that we're in. But after about 5 months, not that I was looking like, let's take it to the next level. No, that's why I was hanging out on the Jen fence. We'll call it the Jen fence because she's on the fence because I left on the Jen fence. But I also knew that it could only go so far, but I wasn't looking to end it or to what have you. And things that I observed early on is that, and just accept it. And again, it's like just, it's not impacting me, but just accept and observe, you know? I think a lot of us where we want to partner up, I didn't want to partner up. I wanted to learn. I wanted to discover. And I'm so thankful on Thanksgiving that I basically got my GED in what it's like to be a single mature woman in New York City. And I'm so thankful to him. Like he was like my sex sensei, so to speak, or my relation, not even relationship, just like, oh, this is how you communicate. This is how you could have fun, and you could be free, and you could be independent, and you could be strong, and you can take on a lover and then not, and whatever. And that, those are only the things I saw in movies and read in books. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So thankful, and a good, kind, cool person. However, in a flash of clarity on Tuesday night, it was crazy. Everything clicked, and that was maybe I was on like day three of like doing my listening to Abraham meditation practice, right? And I'm seeing things are lining up, right? So I would notice I remember the day I met him. Of course, we're outside. It was mid-June, and it was just a very quick, you know, 15-minute hi. You know, do we actually want to go on a real date? Let's just meet first with our masks on. And then it was really cute at the end. I'm like, pull the mask down. And then I pulled down mine, and like, you know, we flashed each other like from a distance. We waved, and I kept it moving. Like, okay, he's cute. But anyway, he looks like his pictures, you know, from Bumble. But anyway, I remember even the first time I laid eyes on him, we were talking, and I would see his eyes dart around. You know, if someone was walking the dog or there was a woman, a guy, and I thought for a second, is he like looking at other women while he's talking to me? And I'm like, no, he's looking at everything. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting. This is what he does. So I accepted it. It doesn't mean, oh, there's something wrong with me or whatever, but this is something. It was the first thing about him that I observed. Like, okay, his attention for whatever reason needs to be all over the place and not scattered like ADHD attention, but he needs to see what's going on.
Like, okay, surveillance.
Thank you. So that's clue. So Blue's Clues. Okay. So where's your crayon? So that's clue number one.
I got my notebook. Don't worry. Yeah.
Yeah. Got your notebook. Right. So we got clue number one. Right. And then number two, and this is like over time, but it's, and I'm not looking for anything, but it's adding up now that the situationship is over with. And then number two, you know, I could tell these stories about when I worked on this project or when I traveled to this place or when I had this spiritual awakening, because I would speak to him. He knows about this podcast, but superficially, but more than the average person because he's very, very open, right? Anytime he would tell me a story, and I'm like, especially in the beginning, it would be like a sexcapade story. Now, they were always funny, and this is actually kind of bittersweet. I mean, it makes me laugh now. I didn't have any stories like that because I have these other stories. I've kind of lived as this you know, I was in this monogamous marriage for 200 years and then, you know, not very adventurous post-divorce until I met him. So I'm so thankful that I even know what that is to live like that in this life at this, you know, at this stage of the game. I didn't even think that that was an option for me. So yay, I'm very thankful. So this is the truth. It's a little embarrassing, and I said, well, oh, so I had a friend, and I would tell them like friends' sexcapade stories because I didn't have any of my own, right? But it was cute. But I'm like, but why does he have the need to do it? And again, I wasn't coming from an insecure place. So I'm very proud of myself because this is, it's like a report card. You kind of see like a baseline, like how you learn, how you grow, how you evolve. And again, didn't feel threatened, didn't feel insecure, didn't feel, because I didn't want to be in another lockdown relationship with somebody else. I'm just about being, you know, this is Blue's Clues. Well, I wanted to be Dora the Explorer. I wanted to see, I don't know what this Nickelodeon theme is, but I'll just roll with it. Nick Jr., I'll just roll with it. So, and that's okay. So I never got insecure. And then over time, like with the darting of the eyes and looking around, right, over time, I accepted it, got used to it, didn't think twice about it. And then with the sexcapade stories, I'm like, okay, you know, he's like, yeah, that's a really funny story, right? I said, well, it's funny for you, but, you know, you're just making my mind think about you doing all these crazy, freaky things with other people. So I guess it's funny, you know. So I was honest.
Right.
You know, and he's like hitting the mic, tough crowd, you know, try the veal. So, but whatever. So, but I, you know, again, all about accepting what is. Not putting up, not whatever, just accepting. Not my boyfriend, you know. And the only requirement that I had is like, we are not going to have multiple sexual partners during this little situationship because it's Corona, and I wouldn't do that anyway. That's not me, Corona, no Corona, post-Corona. That's not me. I'm a one-person-at-a-time chick. That's just how I'm wired. I'm not going to change. I'm too busy doing other things. It's really a time management thing more than a moral thing, but whatever. it really is. It really is. I don't care. But and the thing is, this is such brand new territory for me. It was just enough for me to understand, process, grow, evolve. So the darting of the eyes, the sexcapades, right? But still, we're hanging out, good time, what have you. But psychically, clairvoyantly, I always felt I always am about you leave the party when you're at the top of your game and you always finish strong. And I did mention that about 2 weeks ago we celebrated his birthday, and that's going to be in the top 10 of the most amazing dates Hall of Fame. It was magnificent, and we would have overnights once a month. And I said, and again, not knowing the outcome, but you always trust your intuition. I said, you know what, let's skip December, the holidays, whatever, whatever, whatever. And unconsciously, I knew this is going to be the last time we get together. I knew it in that way. And so our post-get-together date, meaning I had not seen him for about a week and a half since we celebrated his birthday, and we meet for drinks. And it's very interesting, too, because that afternoon I cooked this huge meal because I didn't want to think about cooking, getting back after having a couple drinks, after coming back from a date. So in the middle of the afternoon, I made this huge meal, and there was so much food. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm so excited to see him. This is great. Like, you know, not having any idea what was going to happen. But just, again, rolling with the vibration of what is. Just rolling with it, good, bad, whatever. Rolling with it. So, and you know, Lisa, when I cook, I don't mess around.
Mm-hmm.
So I made this meal, and I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I got a little Tupperware, and I'm going to give him, you know, he can have it for his lunch tomorrow at work or whatever. I'm just going to pack up a little Tupperware. I've never cooked for him before. Why not? So I had a little Tupperware situation going on. Meet him at the place. And in the news, I had heard, and this must be going on everywhere on the planet, and it's a little freaky, literally and figuratively, that people all over the place are losing their minds because people are starved for intimate connection. And now there's this underground business of people hosting sex parties during Corona.
Okay.
So that's a thing. Yeah, that's a thing, right? And I'm like, oh, my God. These. It's sad. It's funny. It's scary. It's all those things, right? So apparently There was one in New York, and 60 people were part of a raid, and they would, I guess it was like an empty apartment, and they would have multiple rooms, but that all these people could, I don't know, have random sex with random people. I have no idea. Between the STDs, between the corona, between just none of it, like just talking about it makes me nauseous. But let me tell you, so I'm joking with him, and I said, did you hear about the sex party in Queens? He said, no. So I told him what I heard on the news, and we were laughing, and I'm joking. He goes, yeah, I should have been invited to that. So we're joking, ha, 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 because, you know, you were the man around town and your wild days, and I've heard a lot of your stories, whatever, 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 right? And then this is when everything changed. And then he said, yeah, I've signed up for those in the past.
I knew
and
it.
And then in my mind, the record scratched. And I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. I had my poker face on. And I said, you're breaking up with him, and you're doing it today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what everything added up. The looking around, the sexcapades, all of that. And he said, yeah, I signed up for 3, but I never went. And I said to myself, thank God. And I said, why? He goes, well, one time something came up. Another time I changed my mind because I didn't know for the $150. Who signs up for this? For $150. Bitch, give me $150. I'll take care of you. I'm kidding. Girl, for $150. He's like, there is no guarantee that I would. And I'm thinking, am I really hearing this? And this is someone.
You're telling me he wanted the most bang for his buck. Is that what you're saying?
Literally. Oh, you have missed your calling. You should go to the Ha Ha Hut right now and book a show. Yes. And I'm like, this. Okay, we're gonna dock this ship because we're gonna get off. And so I have my poker face on. And I said, well, yeah, that's, especially now, I can't even imagine. And then he goes on to say, so I get poker face, right? But in my mind, all the energy is lining up. And I said to myself, thank you, God, for all my intuitive gifts. Thank you, thanks. I know how to do this, right? I'm always like 10 steps ahead. Like, thank you. I'm so glad to be psychic. Yes, it's so handy. It's so handy, especially for a single girl in these streets. Yes. Okay, so I'm preparing myself. Like, I have my poker face, but there's a lot of shit going on underneath the surface. I'm getting all my shit lined up, right? Mm. So then he says, no, I didn't, and I said, yeah, it's very interesting. And I said, so when you were in serious relationships, I mean, how was that for you? Because you got this side, you know, you got this wild side, and this is why I would have never gotten with you pre this. There's no way. We're on opposite ends. I said, you're in New York, I'm in Australia. I mean, that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm on the other side of the earth here. We're so polarized. He said, no, if it was ever serious, but there'd be a yearning. And then I said, okay. So then I'm going back. I'm getting these flashbacks. So I'm seeing him looking around and these quirks and the sexcapades, right? And I said, so you must have like major FOMO, fear of missing out. He goes, yeah, I guess that's it. And I said, yeah, and you know, there's a lot of hope with the vaccine coming out. You have said, you know, to me that, yes, you feel that you've changed and all of that, but there's a part of you that you feel like you never got closure because you didn't choose to walk away from that life. You knew at 53 years old. Now, this is not a young, very young person. I mean, he seems... He's far, far, far from an old man. He's an incredibly youthful 53, but 53 is 53. I'm an incredibly youthful 59, but 59 is 59, right? So that's something that needs to be factored in. He said, yeah, but I just struggle with the fact that it wasn't on my terms. I said, yeah, but you got to embrace the fact that there's so much that we don't, that we, the only thing that we can control is this moment right now. And I said, because I've observed over these wonderful 5 months spending time with you, that is part of who you are. Then we're going to have to cut you loose because I can't fall for someone that feels like they might be missing the next best thing. And this is such a beautiful bubble. And I have nothing but incredible memories. But, yeah, he goes, there's something wrong with me. I can't. And I said, there's nothing wrong with you. If that's where you are and this is what you're missing or you feel like, I said, let me ask you something. Do you think you're a sex addict? He said, no, because that would mean I would be obsessed with just having sex. But it's more that there's that yearning that there's something else. And I'm like thinking to myself, this guy can't be here. And I realized, too, if you don't know what source is, right, if it doesn't occur to you, you don't know what source is, and you don't have a way to express yourself as an artist or as some sort of creator, okay, I said to myself, this is his creative self-expression. Alcohol and looking for the next best thing and you know, in the form of a sexual conquest or whatever. Wow. And I remember early on in the very beginning where he'd tell me these stories. I'm like, all right, that's cute. You know, I like to tell the story about, you know, the four films I had at Sundance, but I'm not going to say that. That's cute. But that's kind of hollow. But again, I didn't resent. Like, this is like this. But this is what's so. I'm so happy about. I didn't resist anything. I just wanted to explore and learn and process and move. Mm-hmm. He said, "I did want to ask you though. I feel like I can't reconcile myself with this. I feel like it's a psychological problem, meaning." That I can't get closure with my old life, and I feel like I can never get past it. And then he's getting emotional because he has like a PTSD from Corona. Mm-hmm. And when you go through a trauma, who you were before you can't recognize. And I know that from, and all of us know that from first-hand experience. He said, and I know you know of these things, so maybe you can recommend, you know, a therapist or a place I can go to. I said, absolutely. I have friends that are psychologists. I can make a call on your behalf. I'd be happy to. And then I proceeded to thank him and tell him I'm going to miss him. But that unlike the past, with other people I dated. He was the only person that I slept with since, you know, my ex-husband. So this he's in a special category. So the others don't even count. But so they would get blocked. Like, bye, you're crazy, leave me alone, da-da-da-da. that's just normal in single lexicon. I said, I'm not going to block you. I know we care about each other. You know, the lines of communication are open. And we had a very, you know, sweet, tear-filled, you know, embrace. And then, so yesterday, again, it's so great to understand energy. Yesterday, I was very, you know, moved very slow. And I like to face things head on. And if I have the opportunity to let it work through my system, because I know by probably by tomorrow, I'm going to be, you know, I'm fine. I'm, you know, it's every hour it's like, okay, I'm just working it out of my system. And it wasn't like, I love you, I love you, I love you. It was none of that. You know, it took a couple years to get through a 26-year marriage. It's going to take me like a long weekend to get through a 5-month situationship. Like,
right.
Right. So, so he texted me yesterday, and it was very formal, because he would be with the very formal with the platitudes again, because we're not dealing with real connection, right? So he says, so I'm just going to read this text exchange because it's relevant to the story. He goes, good afternoon. Have a wonderful holiday weekend. How are you doing today? A bit stressed. I'm fighting a migraine. Sorry to hear that. I hope you can avoid it. I'm not exactly at 100% myself. He goes, I hope you're feeling better. My mind is not doing well either. I said, you too. I'll be okay. I have to honor the process of adjusting to how things have changed between us. And then he says, I'm so scared I won't ever feel better. And I say, you're halfway there just by the acknowledgement. I have nothing but good memories and compassion for you. And then I sent him a link to a very well-respected clinic where he can get psychological help support, right? And so I sent him that. And then he says, I really appreciate you and the way you helped me through my struggle. To feel today, I feel like the only way to stop hurting is to not go on living. I'm like, oh, my God, please don't say that. I said, I know, but that's how I feel. Useless and unworthy. You, and then he says, you really made me see how shallow and hollow, is that funny? Hollow.
Mm.
You made, right? I'm like, wow. So he says, you really made me see how shallow and hollow my life has been and all the people that were good for me and couldn't accept them. So, yeah. And then I said, please give me a call. You know, when you feel better, you know, because he has the migraines. I said, you'll hear from me sometime. Have a great weekend. I say, take care of yourself. He goes, thanks. I miss you. I'm like, here we go. Now you're getting romantical, bitch. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Okay. He goes, thanks. I miss you. I said, same, but I know that I have to move forward. He said, I know that as well. I need to be fixed before I can be good for anyone else. I say nothing is broken. It's about growth and healing. I wish you nothing but the best and hope you find the right person for you. And he said, hopefully one day. And that's where we left it.
Mm.
I was so proud of myself. Even when I told him, you know, at the table at the restaurant, yeah, I'm gonna have to really cut you loose. I understand. And this keeps this so beautiful, and it will be nothing but an amazing memory and chapter in my life. He goes, wow, you have to have a lot of strength for that. I said, this is nothing. I've been through way worse than this. I said, I'm fine. But if you don't have a means of expression, you don't have art, you don't know what source is, and you're about, okay, doing your responsibilities at your desk job, and then the rest is a free-for-all. And then you wake up at 53 having survived corona, and you don't know who you are.
Mm.
But the fact that the thing is, like, and this is why there's no, I'll be friends with him, you know, but in terms of an intimate connection, absolutely not. Because if you, in 2019, okay, because I said, wouldn't you say, oh, yeah, 2019, yeah. I'm like, bitch, if you sign up thinking that that's like, should I, you know, to me it's like, should I sign up for this museum exhibit? You're signing up for a sex party? What the, no. And that, and I think sex addiction, but it's that FOMO addiction or that, that I don't know. But to
like you had said, because if he's missing an intimate connection or an expression that feels closer to source, then yeah, sex would probably be the closest thing, right?
You cut out. So I just heard if you're missing an intimate connection, and then
say
it again.
If you're missing an intimate connection and you don't know how to define source, that's probably why you don't have an intimate connection, why you think you're missing something.
Oh, my
God. Then that makes sense. That's where you find it. You find it, your outlet is through other people.
Right.
So, you know, once he can define, it was a good way for you to ask that question, like, how do you define source? Because if he thinks a source is something outside of himself, of course he's going to feel disconnected.
Right.
But if
he
can't
even
define
know that source exists. It doesn't even exist.
Yeah.
It's like the party, the drinks, the that. It's sad.
If you can't define it at all and you feel empty.
Right.
But it's going to, you're going to be looking outside and always, you're always going to be hungry. But you're never going to be satisfied.
Right, Elisa. Right. And the thing is, he's young enough that this isn't pathetic. Like, he's young enough that he can, you know, he can make choices.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, and even before I knew that I was going to end the relationship, it was early on in the conversation because he's been struggling for, you know, he tells me all the time, you know, I need to have closure with my past, and I don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that for, you know, months, top of the conversations, when he said, you know, I know you know about these things, maybe you can recommend, because I don't know how to handle this. And then, again, we're talking, he's sexcapades, all of that, I'm joking about the sex party, and then he said that, I'm like, okay, it's a wrap. So, yeah,
right.
I'm like, and we're done. But psychically, I kind of felt like you're going to break up with, I knew this for months, you're going to break up with him after his birthday. And I didn't know, am I sabotaging, am I this, am I that, or whatever. But it was a psychic. When he said that, I'm like, okay, everything in such a moment of clarity. And also with the Abraham meditations, just knowing, you know, I don't feel like the rug is being pulled from under me. You know, even by surprise, doesn't mean that you're going to allow the rug of perception or self-sabotage or resistance or doubt or fear. It's like, okay, what's going on? And then let's see how we navigate without turning it into something else. But what you said was extremely, extremely helpful. When it's time for someone to not be in your life anymore, that's what happens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or they show up in your life in a way that's different than, you know, what it was. But what's so beautiful is he didn't get painted to a corner in a relationship with someone, you know, that made him feel pressured to be in one. Like, no. And I don't think this is a very healthy thing I'm going to say about myself, but I'm just being honest. I kind of like being the one who got away.
Mm.
I kind of enjoy that. I have to ask a therapist, what does that mean when you kind of enjoy being the one? What does that mean? I kind of enjoy that because I don't want to be the one that's taken for granted. Well, you know what? Maybe because in my marriage, I felt I was kind of taken for granted.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why.
It's a value.
Right. And this journey, thank you, Elisa, this journey with, you know, meeting men and doing whatever has really been about constructing self-love, self-cultivation, self-value, because there was nothing but ash when I got out of the ruins of my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So he really helped build the foundation. And this is why I'll be very grateful to Rehearsal Guy. When I met him, I was so awkward. You know, I could barely walk and talk. So I'm not that person anymore. I mean, it was a 5-month journey. I came out of with 3 gold medals and, you know, and a plaque. I mean, I feel like a champ, you know? And I know, and this isn't an ego thing, I know that how I lead and express myself isn't in that typical girly girl type of, you know, I like to lead by friendship, and then we see what happens.
Right.
And we had a foundation of about 2 months of friendship before, you know, things got intimate. Thank you, Corona.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think that's really important. Like that's really what the biggest takeaway that I got. Cultivate a friendship first and foremost. Build on that. Because I can still be friends with this person and not have nothing but tender, sweet memories.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Will I grieve for like another day and a half? Absolutely. But that's, you know.
No, that's understandable. Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah, that's all right. Anyway, that's my story. No,
I thank you for sharing that. There's a lot that came out of that. And
right.
And there's. There are definitely parallels that can make sense. The two of you met.
Yep.
And you had this time together. 5 months, number of change, by the way.
Oh, girl. Yes, you're so right.
So I think it makes sense that he helped you define, say, value for yourself.
Yes. As a woman, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
As you said, as a woman, without having that other roles, attached
like, I didn't
to
have to
even,
twerk at the club. I didn't have to twerk
even,
at the club.
Even the role of girlfriend.
I could just be
even
my
that.
Right.
You
right.
just
not
you.
Girlfriend. Just me.
And right. that was important. And then you are just, you helped him get to start answering some of his own questions.
Right.
And to have the strength to do that, to see value in doing that for him.
Right.
For him doing it for himself. And not leaving it open for other people to define that or a situation to define that, you know,
right.
even if it's fleeting, oh, we're all going to meet, you know, tonight and then feel empty.
Right.
So it has to be true meaning. It can't be from something or someone else. It has to be from inside.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what this relationship will at least,
right.
if it hasn't cracked it open, because he probably doesn't want anything cracked, but
right.
To kind of seep in there and
right.
get
right.
him on the right track. To
yeah, it really, yes. I think, thank you for that. Thank you for everything you've said. It's so insightful and so helpful, but it's almost parallel to like realizing that you have a drug dependency, you know, and that, because some people you can just take, you could be high functioning, but addicted to some sort of medication, some sort of substance. And
sure.
I think that's it's an addiction. So I can't help him with that, nor do I want to become his therapist, you know.
Right. No, of course not.
Right.
Of course not.
Right.
No,
right.
That's not fun at all.
And I'm not qualified for that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm qualified to read your energy, but you need psychological help, and I have so much respect for that.
Right.
But, yeah. And if also, too, if you are not a source person, I'm not your girl. So
mm-hmm.
you got to speak to someone who is a clinical person to assist you, to support you, and to help you on your journey. But yeah. Anyway,
I know we have the last couple of minutes. We did have Lil Fairy in the chat room asking,
okay.
and, you know, just wanted to put it in there before, because I think if we go over, I wanted her to get at least something
yes.
from us.
Yeah, I'm done.
So we'll get to the meat of it. She says she's grateful for some insight about, of course, love life. She says, looks like I'm going to end the year being single. Not that the year has ended yet, by the way.
Girl,
I noticed
Lil Fairy,
the tall guy.
You put too much pressure on yourself, girl. I'm telling you that right now, but go ahead.
I noticed a tall guy beginning of November at my workplace. There was a spark, but I didn't see much of him afterwards, and I don't know if we will cross paths again. Thanks.
Okay.
So that's so love life, going to be single. However, as
well,
she has
a bit of a, there's a,
over the past few months, there's been somebody that has caught her eye.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay, so the thing is, it's like to say I'm going to be single at the end of the year. Girl, it's only Thanksgiving, and we don't know, and who cares? Time is a made-up constraint. I mean, who are you going to kiss on New Year's Eve? I don't know. Who am I going to kiss? My son? I don't know. My pillow? I don't know. It's okay if you just look at things unfolding. I think we get a different version of the same question every time, you know, ask for insight. The insight is there really is none to be had. What might, I'm going to recommend this, and I don't know if you're going to like this idea, but I think if you go on a dating app, not to act on it, but to see how people react, how guys react to your profile, you get likes and messages, that will let you know that there are possibilities. Now, I'm not saying to message anybody back unless you feel they're a great candidate, but there are plenty of free apps out there. Yes, there's plenty of scammers, there's plenty of players, but that's a real life too. It's just another version of real life. Everything's virtual now anyway, so this is the most accepted way of meeting people is going on an app. So, you know, when I was on apps, sometimes I'd be on them not with the intention, I would lurk. I would just like lurk, like I'm catalog shopping, like I'm not going to swipe on anybody, I'm going to just keep going left, like I'm passing, I'm just going to lurk, and it's kind of healing. It's like this energetic collage. And then you see if you get little likes or little messages or whatever. So it will ground you in knowing that there is a viability and possibility. So I kind of want to get you out of your comfort zone. That's my insight. And then be present. And just be present. It's like without expectation, without fear, without resistance, be present. And then if you say to yourself, okay, well, I saw this tall guy, whatever, there was a spark. Well, guess what? If you're open to all possibilities, right, and the universe sets it up that you are meant to cross paths again, you will. And you get to say, hey, how you doing? Hey, happy holidays. Take advantage. It's holiday season. Yeah, between now and January, like, 5th, okay? Happy holidays. Keywords, because you could be shy or whatever, but you can manage to say happy holidays. And if the guy is smart and there's a spark, then you open the door and then he can step through it. That's my insight.
There you go. And I put that in the message in the chat room to say, you know, you will need to download the show to get the last bit of this.
She just hears the last bit of it. But yeah, that's how I feel. It's like sometimes we have to shake it up. The same way I got totally out of my comfort zone, you know, getting involved with, you know, a renegade, you know, getting involved with you know, Hefner 2.0. but the growth and the I feel like the growth, the grace, the knowledge, the awareness, I'm no longer awkward when it comes to guys. Mm. I thank that person for helping me with that. That's priceless, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that he's very thankful to me to show him a different kind of experience. And I'm not competing with hundreds and hundreds of meaningless encounters or the mothers, because he has two baby mama, of his children. I'm not competing with any of that. I am in my own little category because that's how I roll. And he's in his own category because he facilitated the shift of my consciousness. So, yeah, and I feel for him. I mean, that text broke my heart, you know.
Yeah.
Of him, you know, being in that dark night of the soul, and I recognize that, you know, being an empath. Mm-hmm. But yeah. But let's see what happens, because that raw material can be converted to do great, great things. And yeah.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
And he has a friend in me, which is great. I was never friendly with, you know, I was always like done, don't ever want to talk to you again. But yeah. I rewrote the script with this guy, and that's gonna help me with you know, future encounters. So yeah.
Well, sending him good vibes so that he'll...
Yes, I know. God bless, right?
He'll dig deep within and find those answers, you know, at least the beginnings. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but the first step's always the hardest. But mm-hmm. it's all about, and that's the energetic theme. It's almost like an energetic forecast, because Lois is like, say this and then get off. Okay, Lois. So I got you. So it is, because I had said that early in the show, where... a threshold for those of us that are aware, we're all crossing an energetic threshold right now. And maybe if we remember on Tuesday, we can elaborate on what she means with that.
Mm.
Because that's what's happening right now. Energetically, that's like an energetic forecast. Thank you, Lois. Okay. So, wishing all of you who celebrate Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving. And if you guys need to get a hold of us, you can send an email to loablend@gmail.com. And we are scheduled to be back on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Stay safe, wear your mask, take care of each other. And as always, get ready to cross that threshold. Let the light, right? Let's cross it. Let's cross it together right now. 1, 2, 3. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Let the light do the work into brighter days ahead. I love you, Alisa.
I love you, Liz.
Okay, bye.
Have a good day, y'all. Bye.
Have a good day. Love you.